Interview with Alan Parker, president of the Exchange Bank, Tuskegee, Alabama. July 11th, 1974.
But, I'd like if I do this, Parker, you tell me just a little bit about your own background and your political involvement and when you were active.
Well, I grew up down in South Alabama, along the Florida-Alabama line. My father was a tenant farmer, and 1929, I finished high school in May and came up to Montgomery. Started working in the First National Bank of Montgomery as a runner in July of that year. 1941, I came over here. In spring of 42, I went in military service. Spent 4 years there. Came out in December of 40. December of 46, and that's been here continuously. Really, I'm not an expert on politics by any manner of means. During the time when we were in transition here, switching from white politics dominating to black dominance, I served on the city council for 3 years and then served 3 years on what is now the county commission, as chairman of the county commission. My involvement was simply because some people felt that I could be of assistance in switching from changing teams, you might say, or changing horses, or whatever you might have. I'm not a politician by nature. I have no love for it or desire for it or anything else. But there were some who felt that I could serve effectively in that capacity. That's the extent of my political experience.
Am I correct that you were elected chairman of the county commission by a majority black commission?
No. At the time I was elected, there was only one black on the commission. No, there were two blacks at that time. There were two blacks on the commission and two whites. And a majority of those four elected me. It was three. There was the two blacks and one white voted for me. One white voted against me.
Could you tell us a little bit what that transition was like, what things were like here before and during and since?
Well, of course, obviously, anybody that had any field, you're the one that grew up in the South.
No, I am.
You grew up in the South. Now, where?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Well, you know, there was a good bit of feeling on resentment, you'd call it, on the part of whites for the black people being enfranchised, and then particular for them running for office. And Tuskegee was no different from the rest of them in the feeling that was involved. The only difference was ours was complicated by the fact that we were so predominantly black in population, and there were a lot of whites who actually had fears of being maybe call it recrimination if you want to, or retribution, or whatever you might want to call it. But there was a genuine fear that with the complete black power, the power completely in the hands of overwhelming black majority, that they would just sweep the whites aside and be pretty rough on them. I didn't share that feeling, and I think that's why there were some who felt that maybe I could serve as a buffer in there and kind of help to bring about an orderly and less traumatic transition.
You were first elected when?
Well, let's see what year it was. We'll have to count backwards. The present mayor has been in office for 2 years. There was a 4-year term before that, 4-year term before that is when I was elected.
We've been city
council officer.
10 years ago.
Or whatever that is, yeah, whatever that comes to.
You're 64. Okay. Then you served 3 years there, and then the next 3 years on county commission.
Right.
And
I resigned from each of them. I resigned from the city council in order to take the chairmanship of the county commission, and then I resigned there. Resigned each case because I felt like my role had essentially been played. There was no further point in my staying on.
Had you had any political role before that? None. And
why did they pick you? Why was the decision made that you should do it?
I think they felt. I think there were some who felt that I was not affected by a lot of the prejudices that were shared by both sides, and in some respects, I think both sides had some trust in me, that they felt like that I'd be fair.
Had you played any role in community affairs before then?
I reckon you might say that I had been a conciliator, if that's a good word to use, if there was any such thing as conciliating the opposites that existed at that time, mediator, or yes, I had been active in trying to keep us from going off the tangents on the issues that were involved at that time.
How about it? Did you have any active role in church activity?
Well, I've always been active in church work, yes.
Which church is that?
Church of Christ.
Was that a factor?
No, not really.
What were some of the tangents that you kept people from going off on?
Well, you really would have had to have been back here at that time and had a feel of the situation. People were afraid of the unknown. There was tremendous fear on the part of white people that if blacks took over, they would just go out and start exterminating whites. That type of ridiculous things. None of which I shared, but at the same time, you had to be patient and you had to deal with folks that way. You couldn't just, they couldn't be ignored. We had an active Ku Klux Klan here at that time, and it was a factory. It had to be taken into consideration. It wasn't always, when you were dealing with hotheads, it wasn't always possible to apply reason or logic.
Were the Klan members pretty much known who they were and so forth?
Yeah, I would say. They were known to the whites. I don't know that they were known to blacks. Maybe blacks knew some of them, but they wouldn't have known all of them.
Did you see their attitudes change during this period?
Yeah. As far as I know, there is no Klan organization anymore. Most of the extreme radicals have either gotten away from Tuskegee or they have completely changed.
Can you give us an example of this sort of change, not by naming an individual, but how some individual might have done something then and how he might do something now?
Yeah. There were some of the most rabid segregationists at that time, and the ones that were whipping up the emotions of the people, that are now working side by side with blacks. I think that's the best illustration that I know of.
Can you give us a specific example without identifying the person by name, but an individual who was doing what he was doing then and what he might be doing now?
Well, let me see if this black person is still working around here at the liquor store. But one of the white people who still works in there, does work in there, was one of the most rabid and one of those involved in the Ku Klux Klan. We did have a black clerk working in there. I was trying to ascertain whether he's still there or not. But that was an illustration. Two fellows working side by side, both on the state job, when the black person was real active in the integration of the school movement, and the other fellow was extremely active in trying to prevent the blacks coming into power. But both of them were extremists.
Was the white man a Klansman?
When I was never a member, but I would say that the community looked on him as one of the leaders of the Klan. Yes.
Now, what is he doing now?
He's working around here at the state liquor store.
Has his attitude changed?
Well, I just said that the two of them working in that side by side, that wouldn't have taken place
before. Well, they weren't working side by side back then.
Oh, no. They were the opposite poles. Opposite poles. But since that time, that's what I was trying to get over was, since that time, they have worked over that. Now, whether this black fellow is still working there or not, as I say, I don't go in there. But I know he has been working there. Whether he's still there or not, I'm not certain.
But your point is that the attitudes have changed in 10 years.
To permit them to come together.
Could you have foreseen that 10 years ago?
No, I wouldn't really have thought that it had gone to that extent, no.
And well, of course, what caused it? Why
passing of time, I think, for one thing, and exposure. As we find out things, I had this experience right here in our own organization. There were a lot of my personnel that just did not feel that they could work side by side with a black person in here. But they don't feel that way anymore because they've been shoulder to shoulder and the roof didn't cave in. That type of thing, see. I think that the people tend to fear the unknown. And once they see that the roof doesn't cave in on them, why, they have a tendency to adjust to it within themselves. I don't think it takes any pounding from outside. I think they'll adjust to it themselves.
But you couldn't have foreseen that 10 years
ago? No, you wouldn't have thought that it would come about that completely. No.
How about the schools here? How are they?
Well, that's been an unfortunate thing, and I suppose that maybe the involvement in the school was what brought me into these other things. I stood up from the very beginning trying to preserve the public school system, and I took a lot of pounding for that. I took a lot of punishment all the way from the governor down. He personally singled me out for treatment, and of course it had local repercussions. But our school system has completely resegregated itself now. The only exception is the system in Notasauga. Notasauga is a community about 10 miles north of here, at which they have grades all the way from 1 to 12. And they're about 50-50.
But that's in Macon County?
That's in Macon County. But the rest of the county, all the public system is 99 and 9400% black, and they have a private school here at which the local whites go.
What's the name of the other community?
Notasauga.
How do you spell that?
Notasauga. Notasauga.
What was the impact of Wallace? Because you were in office during the time that he was very active in this. What was his impact on this local situation?
No, that started in 63. Our school problem started in 63. All right, there was a federal court order requiring that, I believe it was 13 blacks be admitted to Tuskegee High School down here. Of course, the high school has been discontinued since then, and they've consolidated with what was previously the all-black high school out of Tuskegee Institute. But the federal court had ordered the schools to admit 13 black kids. We thought everything had been pretty well ironed out. The school administration had been unhappy about it, but they were going along. The teachers were reconciled to it. The faculties, the administration, the county superintendent and everything was reconciled to it. That was the only school in the county that was going to be integrated the first year. The parents were all set to bring the children down the day of opening a school. At my house, we just happened to have the TV on. Normally, we didn't turn it on that early, but for some reason, and I don't recall why, it was on. And about 10 minutes before I was getting ready to bring my children to school, there was a flash on there that the governor had issued some kind of a proclamation number one. I remember that, forbidding the school to open, and that he had state troopers down there to see that his order was carried out. But it turned out that that particular order had been served on the superintendent about 6 o'clock that morning. Superintendent lived just across the street from the school, and he not only closed that school, but closed all the schools in the county. They were not to reopen until a subsequent order would be issued from the governor permitting them to reopen. I came on down anyway with the children, but they were riding traffic around. We couldn't even get to the school, and they had the building completely encircled with the state troopers. If I remember right, they stayed there about 3 or 4 days and physically prevented anybody from going into the school. And that was where I came into play. I did try to espouse some reason and common sense when they were trying to resist the court order and trying to resist getting blacks into school. I felt like that it was...
He is still a blitz.
He said this black fellow that was active in the civil rights movement still over there, working side by side by that former Klansman who 10 years ago would have died before he'd done that. I felt like that several things were involved. One was the war wasn't coming to an end if we had the black and white children going to school, because they had always played on the streets together. They played baseball and everything else. There was not going to be a great deal of difference if they were sitting in classroom. Next thing, I felt that while some of the whites could afford a private school education, all of them couldn't do it, and very few of the blacks could afford it. So it would have meant no education if we gave up public school. Now, as it happened, subsequent events, they wound up by eventually closing Tuskegee High School that year, and all of the whites wound up pulling out from the high school, so that there was only 12 black kids wound up graduating at the high school level that year. 6 of them graduated from Charter when they finally closed Tuskegee, and 6 went to Notasauga. 1 in the meantime had dropped out. But we did get the school reopened for the next year, and gradually the school came back, and we maintained an integrated school for several years. But the year that they closed the high school down here and consolidated with the Tuskegee Institute High, it did start very rapidly to resegregating, and it is completely resegregated now as far as Tuskegee is concerned.
How did the governor single you out?
Well, for one thing, he punished me by withdrawing the state liquor store account from here, which had been a very profitable account, a very desirable account. He moved across the street to my neighbor, who was real active in organizing private schools. That was one way. Other way was by just word of mouth, pointing out what a bad character I was by taking the stand I did.
I mean, how did he act to do that, word of mouth? I mean, did he come down here and he call people up on the phone, or write letters?
Oh, and comments with people being down there, and comments when he would be down here too. He was very active in promoting the private school here. Actually, he made some promises that I'm sure he thought he could keep at that time. He promised them public support, but the courts finally defeated him in that, and he was never able to do it. At one time, the State Board of Education had ordered the local school board to issue checks in lieu of tuition and so forth to each one of the students attending the private school. The federal court successfully prevented that. Each time they would enjoin the board from carrying out those orders, so that, as far as I know, and I think this is correct, no checks were actually ever issued or cashed by any of the private school students. But that one thing he promised them is that they would subsidize it. And of course, he wasn't able to do that. He promised other encouragement, and he did contribute substantially to it.
How long did that harassment continue?
Oh, it gradually died out, I'd say, after the first year.
You get the account back?
I don't want to talk about that now because that's I don't want to bring up old scars. I may lose it. Yeah, we got it back this year, but not until this year. And because the governor has changed his attitude, I don't even know that he even knows that we got it now. We got it through the present administrator down there. And I just think you wouldn't go into that because I've suffered enough from that score. I want to keep the account that we got.
Did he ever see you personally, or did you ever see him personally? How about when you got on the city council and county commission? How did things work in so far as relating to state government?
I would say that I think this would be an accurate way of saying it, that we did not suffer as far as the city or county, we did not suffer from racial involvement over here. I think Macon County did just as well as the other counties as far as state funds are concerned. There are not a lot of things that are discretionary as far as that goes. Now, when we went into these various community action programs and these various funded federal programs that had to be approved through the governor's office, we established a fairly good rapport with them, and I don't think we suffered from prejudices that had previously existed. The governor could see the handwriting on the wall, and just as he's been talking now, I think he's a realist, and at the time he was taking the stand, that was a popular thing to do. If he expected to be extremely popular and stand in the schoolhouse door and all that kind of stuff, why, that was a stand that was on the side of the majority, no question about it. That's what they wanted, and he played it to the hilt. But I think he is smart enough to recognize when the handwriting started changing, and I think he's changed with it. So as far as the city and the county, the time that I served on that, I don't think we suffered any from racial involvement.
Well, it's one of the big questions that we keep hearing, and so we ask too, is, you know, has George Wallace really changed, or has he merely adjusted to changing circumstances?
Well, of course, all you can judge by is what you see in the outside effects. Now, when you get right down to it, these professional politicians, if they stay in office and survive, they have got to reflect popular feelings and majority opinion and so forth at that time. As Mr. Churchill said one time, before he can be a statesman, he's first got to get elected. And that's where the politician comes in. I think that that all these people spend a lot of effort and a lot of time trying to ascertain just what the public is thinking at a particular time. And I think most of them are just like these chameleons, that they want to reflect what will make them popular and what will keep them up there. And if you look at it, in some respects, that's really one of the functions of a public official, is to care the wishes of the people. If we believe in democracy, that's part of it. That's what it is. It's one way of looking at it.
You think of the people of this county and city had a chance to go back through the days of 1963, they would do it?
Well, they certainly wouldn't now, no.
You had a really basic change in that. It's not just something superficial.
Yeah, in this county?
Yeah.
Well, we got 83% black population. You know, they wouldn't want to go back to the subservient position they occupied.
What about the whites?
Oh, the whites? Oh, I don't think they have as much care now as they did then. I suspect a lot of them, if they had their preference, everything else being equal, if they could turn the clock back, I expect that they would enjoy it, but I think they are realist enough to know that that's not in the cards, and there's no such thing as no point in, might as well wish for $1 million, you know. I suspect that a lot of them would prefer the other system, if that's what you're saying. But I think they're realist enough to know that that would be completely out of the question.
You quoted Churchill on kind of statesman when first asked to get elected, but were you implying that George Wallace has become a statesman?
I don't know just where you cross the, I don't know where the line of demarcation is. I'm sure that he would like to be regarded as such.
You regard him as such?
Oh, I don't want to comment on that. He's our governor. I respect the office. And he's entitled to his opinions. I got no personal animosity against the governor.
Has he been good to Alabama?
I don't know. Alabama was a backward state when he came into office. It's still a backward state. And I suspect that we'll remain backward for the foreseeable future. As to whether somebody else would have done a better job, you've got no way of knowing because you didn't have anybody. So I don't really know. I supported Albert Brewer. Personally, I thought he was a better governor and thought he would have done better this time, but that was just my opinion. I don't know. He might not have. There's no way of really knowing. I think it'll be a long time before we will catch up with some of the other states, if we catch up. I don't know if we'll ever catch up, but I think we're backward in many ways, and I don't blame that on the present governor. We were, that condition existed when he came into the picture. He simply played on a very popular issue that the majority of voters were involved in and excited about, and probably by their own accounts now would be that they were much more agitated over it than they should have been, and he just rode it to success.
Do you think then that the politics of race is behind Alabama?
Yes, I really do. I don't believe that they would get as worked up as they did during the Brewer Wallace campaign. You see, Albert Brewer, if you've checked on that campaign, was running substantially ahead, and all the polls were showing that he was going to be elected handily. And the Wallace forces, and I don't know that the governor was entirely responsible for this, he had a lot of people with him that had lots at stake. They would not stop at anything to carry their point. They very effectively worked on the racial prejudices and turned that election around. I doubt very seriously if those same methods would work anymore. Doubt very seriously. First place, there's so many black people that are registered to vote now that the methods used to turn off the whites would boomerang as far as the black voters are concerned. So I don't know that the politicians would try that anymore. I think that in itself would have a tendency to boomerang.
How well have the black administrations worked?
Here?
Yeah.
I would say that they have done as well as the previous white administration. Now,
is there any real difference between the two in terms of the way they run the governments?
You wouldn't be able to tell it if there is. I don't really know how to measure that. But
no dramatic differences?
I don't observe any.
No, I was thinking in terms of property tax and the way they spend money and so on.
They have been a little loose in spending money. They've had more money to spend. Yeah, they've spent money, I would say, a little more freely than the previous administration did, and probably more freely than they should have. But there again, I don't know what I don't know what another administration would have done under like circumstances.
But how about in the treatment of blacks and whites in terms of services?
I don't think there's a bit of difference there. I don't discern any difference.
How about with the police?
I would say the police department is as efficient now as it was during the white administration. Police departments in most places are under criticism. You've had crime here, but of course you've got crime in other places. I don't know that our crime rate has increased in the past 3 years. You know.
Do blacks get better services now than they did before, 10 years ago?
Better services in what respect?
From local government.
I don't believe they're getting better services than they did during the two previous white administrations. But that was during the time of Mayor Keever. He was mayor for two terms. They definitely get better service now than they did prior to that, yes. No question about that. The services, the public services, were just like the schools. They were supposed to be separate but equal, but they were certainly separate and unequal. And the public services were unequal. Yes, sir, I think that's fair.
Any regrets about the role you played back then?
No. If I had to go over again, I'd take the same stand. I felt like that what was basically right and just was right and just, and you don't change those things.
Would you have been able to, or what was your reaction to the current mayor's endorsement of the current governor?
Well, there again, he's exactly like I was saying a while ago about the politicians. He's realist enough to know that the current governor was certainly going to be elected. He's realist enough to know that that's who he's going to be dealing with. And if he's honest, he wants to do the best he can for his community. And why should he deliberately alienate himself from the people that are going to be in office? If you look at it one way, he'd be stupid to cut off his approaches to the governor's office. I think the mayor was just plain practical, smart politics.
Were you surprised at his endorsement? Did it come as a surprise to you or not?
Not really, no. He supported Nixon 2 years before that. So I think he was smart enough to know that Nixon was going to be elected, and he realized that it'd be nice to be on the receiving end of some of the gratuities from the Washington office. So, no, I think that's just being a good politician. If I'd have been in his position and wanted to serve the people, I think that's what I'd have done. You've got to deal with what you have. You don't deal with theories. You got to deal with what's available.
You going to get back into politics? Never.
Too old. There's no need for me now. My services were needed at a very unusual time, and I don't foresee that situation ever arising again.
With race behind Alabama in terms of being a political force, where do you think the state's going to, what sort of a governor do you think people in Alabama will elect next time? What are they going to be looking for?
Well, I assume that as long as Governor Wallace lives, that either he or some member of his family will occupy the office. I don't know of any movement underfoot to unseat him. I've certainly not heard of it.
After he leaves the scene,
if he should move on to Washington, as he aspires, why, that would change the situation, because the lieutenant governor obviously would move in at that time, and you'd have a different can of worms. I wouldn't try to forecast what will happen when Governor Wallace leaves the scene. That would be a...
I suppose he'd run for the Senate, say, after the present term expired. That'd leave the scene in that sense. What kind of...
He would probably designate a member of his family to run for governor, would be my guess. I think his wife would probably be receptive to it. His son-in-law has stated that he wants to be governor someday. I would think that some member of his family would probably wind up.
Does his hold on the state that strong that he could just pass that on to Cabrillo or something?
I think he could.
Why is that hold that strong?
It's a peculiar thing. I don't really know that I can answer that. I never knew why Mr. Roosevelt's hold was as strong. He had some very strong people that had strong feelings against him, but yet the vast majority, if he had lived, would have been re-electing him right on to him now. I don't know what it is that some people have the ability, magnetism, or whatever you want to call it, to attract people that way. I just don't know.
But you think he's got it?
I think he's got it. No question about it. Well, an illustration of how he wins people. We've got a person that lives about 60 miles north of here that he and Wallace fought throughout 4 years that this fellow was in the state senate down there, and now he's a strong supporter of the governor's. He has a way of attracting supporters. I don't know just exactly how to put your finger on it and identify it or diagnose it or name it, whatever you want to say. But he has it. No question about that. Had it not been for the racial issue coming on, Jim Folsom had it when he used to be in politics, because he killed himself politically over there. What would have appeared to be a very minor thing. He entertained Adam Clayton Powell in the governor's mansion and had a drink with him. And that finished him off. Governor Wallace is much too smart for anything like that. He just doesn't serve whiskey officially his functions.
I'm curious about that.
You have to bring your own liquor to tell me when you go down there.
Was it Folsom's entertaining Powell or having a drink with him that was proved to be so disastrous?
Well, it all happened at the same time, and it was all one transaction.
I suppose he'd had him over there and given him a cup of coffee.
I think it'd been the same thing. Yeah, it was a fraternizing that they weren't ready for.
And having the drink just intensified.
Right. Yeah. That was something that they were able to latch on to and play up big. Actually, I don't even know whether he had a drink with him, but it was reported that that was the case, and I don't think he denied it. Jim liked to drink, and of course, Adam Clayton Powell liked to drink, so...
Seems reasonable.
It seemed very reasonable that it would take place. The press did report it slightly wrong. I've forgotten whether it said it was a bourbon or scotch, but whichever one they said, it was the other, because the governor didn't drink, but whichever one it was. I forgot now whether he drank scotch or whether he drank bourbon, but whichever it was, I remember the time that the press reported one, and he made the comment that he didn't drink whichever it was. And which is right, but people have told me that was right. That was a slip of reporting. It didn't work.
The press was even irresponsible, don't they, Walker?
The press has always been irresponsible, but you can't ignore them, because they'll dig up enough stuff that is factual, just like on the Watergate situation with the Washington Post. They may not have gotten everything exactly as it was, but they sure led to enough that that you can't sweep it out of the road.
How depressed are you, Frank? How's yours?
I would say fair, because we had TV folks in that were always wanting you to say something, but newspaper people were fair. One fellow, exactly how you word it now, back then when things were really controversial here, he quoted my views on some things, and he said that they might prove to be correct over the long term, but they were certainly unpopular at the present time. And I thought that was accurate. It might not be popular, but I thought that was an accurate way of putting it.
You've been in this area now about 25 years. Is the change in...
I came over here 41 years.
More than 25, then. Is the change in racial relations the biggest thing that's occurred socially and politically in this area?
Yeah.
Overshadows everything else?
Yeah. Otherwise, we're pretty much the same people. Now, that has had more ramifications than you think it has. So that has changed the social life of community and patterns, that type of thing. And of course, economically, we have had some change, but we've switched from a row crop economy to more to cattle and things, which is a more diversified agriculture. And in that respect, there's been other changes, but that would have taken place regardless, I suppose. You see, your farm labor situation is entirely different from what it used to be. We used to have a lot of people out there that would pick cotton and so forth. Now, you just have maybe one operator, and he might pick several hundred acres, where previously you had individuals out there picking by hand, that type of thing. You don't have the people living on the farm that we used to have, that's what I'm trying to say. Our farm population has diminished substantially. Fewer but larger farms.
Is any degree of social intercourse between the races, I mean, social functions?
That is rather limited. There is some, but it's rather limited.
Is it limited to any particular age group or economic group? Or?
I wouldn't say that, let me see how to phrase that. New people who have come into the community don't have the same inhibitions that older natives would have. There would be some instances in which the older natives just wouldn't associate on a social basis on any kind of a plane. But that's not true of very many people anymore. I'd say that.
Quite to me, in a way, because that must have been a traumatic experience for a lot of people in the community, older people.
Well, it was more traumatic for the people over in adjoining county where she came from, where she grew up, than it was for people here. She had worked in an integrated office here. She had worked for the welfare department, the pension security department, they call it, and was pretty well accustomed to associating with people all over the county. It wasn't a tremendous shock to people over in this county, but over there where she grew up, it was a shock, yes.
But did she have any problems as far as acceptance here?
Yeah, I would, in fairness, I think I have to say that, yes, there is some resentment on the part of blacks, particularly black women, that he would marry a white girl, and there is some resentment on the part of a lot of whites that she would marry him. Yeah, that's true. I suspect that he has run into more evident opposition, that is, more people would say cutting things about her among blacks than there has been whites. I think the whites would probably be more restrained, and they'd talk about it among themselves, but they wouldn't say anything public to him about it. But there has been blacks that would get on the radio and talk about it that type of thing.
Are blacks here accept his endorsement of Wallace and this sort of thing?
I think some of them had to go along with him because the governor came within about 300 votes of carrying this county. And I guess I think that indicated that quite a few of them went along with him. Now, there were some that didn't, but there were some that violently disagreed with him. By violent, I'm talking about emotional violence. I'm not
right.
talking about physical violence. But obviously, a lot of them went along, or it wouldn't have been as close as it was.
Do you have anything else you want to add? Parker, we certainly appreciate it. Is there anything else you wanted to add that we didn't comment on that might give us some insights?
I just say, I'm not a politician, and when you get down to identifying folks, don't identify me as a politician, because I try to do a fairly decent job over here at the bank, and I certainly have no aspirations to be and no qualifications for being a politician. I didn't get that far either. I think that as far as banking, that our attempt to always judge people as individuals and not judge them by the color has had something to do with our success. We've always been tried to be fair in having our services available to all those that were entitled to them. And an illustration, I was talking a while ago about the Klan being active. We had the bank account of the Klan at the same time we had the bank account of the NAACP, and we think that we rendered just as good service to one as we did the other. So
did you co-mingle the funds?